St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's driven out all of his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run away from a stranger because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Easter, we celebrate the relationship Jesus wishes to have with us, always under the image of Jesus the Good Shepherd. It's one of the most important I am statements that Jesus gives to us, because it summarizes so much how he wants to interact with each of us and transform us so that we can treat others with a similar shepherdly heart. The church always splits up the first two parts of this 10th chapter of St. John. But because I couldn't possibly ever chip you, I always combine the two, which is a priest's ability according to the liturgical norms. So as we look at the way Jesus the Good Shepherd seeks to shepherd us, we see five essential verbs that are supposed to be transformative, five means by which we're supposed to see how he is, in fact, seeking to give us life to the full. The first is that Jesus calls us by name. None of us is a number. He knows us each, just like a shepherd has beautiful little nicknames like Crooked Ear or Spotted One for a sheep. So he has special names for each of us. And he calls us by name in a way in which we're supposed to recognize him, similarly to how Mary Magdalene in the garden was blinded and deafened by her sorrow until she heard her name called by that shepherd. Even though his appearance was much different, she was finally able to recognize who he was and rediscover who she was by that name. Second thing Jesus does is he leads and he guides. He calls us precisely to follow him. It's never a static relationship. He doesn't leave us where we are. He calls us to follow him out and follow him back, to go to the right and the left. Jesus never leaves us alone. He's consistently helping. Third thing that he does is he feeds us. The Good Shepherd, as we pray in Psalm 23, sets a banquet for us. Even in the midst of our enemies, he's so strong, capable of doing that. He makes sure that we don't starve to death, makes sure that we don't go without. He provides. Fourth thing he does is he protects. He swears that no one will be able to take us from his hand, that he serves as the gate for the sheepfold. In other words, if the wolves are going to get to us, they're going to have to go through him first. And fifth, he gives his life for us. Not just once, it's not just a willingness to give his life, he actually does. And not just on Calvary, in so many other ways. He gives us his life so that we might have life in abundance. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for us each morning as we're able literally to go through all five of these things. Hear him summon us by name, guides us with his own word, feeds us with his own body and blood, protects us throughout that day from the inside, makes it possible for us in receiving his gift of life to have it to the full, because life in abundance is life with God. First reading today, we see St. Peter in this extraordinary scene in Joppa. And we see in Peter's life how the Lord shepherded him. We could look at any of the disciples, but how Peter was called by name and had his name changed by the Lord. We see how he continuously leads and guides Peter, giving him this dream so that Peter would know, and even sending somebody to call him by name to come so that the power of the Holy Spirit might descend upon the church. He feeds even with four-legged animals. Jesus provides so much with the shepherdly heart. He protects. We see throughout the Acts of the Apostles how Jesus was intervening in Peter's life to rescue him even from closed prisons and from those who were plotting to harm him. He gives his life for Peter in such a way that Peter would learn how to shepherd his sheep in this same way. And at the end of his life, even have his arms stretched out so that he could share in that divine self-giving. The Lord wants to transform us in a similar way. A couple of weeks ago, Sister, when I was in Rome, Tuesday we were with the Holy Father in the Vatican, but on Monday and Wednesday we went over to the Lateran, which brought back some happy memories of my studies there. But since the time I had graduated, they have built a new Aula Magna, the huge new auditorium for talks. And I was totally unprepared, not only by how state-of-the-art it is, because in Italy almost nothing state-of-the-art, but then how extraordinarily gorgeous it was. Behind the elevated area where there would be the long dais or desk panel, you could call it, where the speakers would speak, there was a huge mosaic almost straight out of the 4th century, because that's exactly what the iconography was about, of Jesus seated on a throne with his left hand on the book with the seven seals. Normally you would see Jesus with an open book, with a message on the pages, which everyone looking at that book is supposed to receive in order to relate to Jesus right there. That's the way they would do it. But a closed book with seven seals to symbolize, of course, what? The whole process of learning. That it's through learning, through listening, that those seals are eventually loosened so that we can discover the truth. The other hand, at first, is just raised like this. So I was talking to some of the other priests because it's confusing. Normally, you would see hands raised in blessing, especially in the Greek form. But a hand raised like this, clearly not blessing. What was happening? The ancient orators would always get attention by raising a hand, and everybody would quiet. So what Jesus was doing in that mosaic was telling everybody to shut up. I'm about to speak. Up above, you've got a Latin phrase. Unus est magister vester, Christus. You only have one teacher, Christ, so that whatever you're hearing is ultimately supposed to come from the teacher with a capital T. But then down the bottom, in the classic imagery that comes from the centuries of the church, you see 12 sheep looking at Jesus seated on that throne, teaching. Why 12? Clearly to symbolize the 12 apostles, who in order to be good shepherds, first need to be good sheep. But as they come to be fed by the Master, as they come to be led by the Master, as they're called by the Master, as they're protected by the Master, and as they receive the Master's life, including through teaching, they become transformed so that as good sheep, they can become good shepherds. And the same type of transformation is meant to happen to us. That first we hear the Lord calling us by name, and then we go out to attune others' ears to hear the Good Shepherd calling them by name too. As the Lord guides us, he guides us in such a way so that we can be spiritual guides for others, to help them follow in the Master's footsteps. That as he feeds us, we receive that nourishment, and then we breastfeed so many others with what we ourselves have digested. That he protects us. He makes us strong so that we can similarly protect the vulnerable. And as he gives his life for us, as St. Peter himself wrote to the early church, he gave his life for us, leaving us an example so that we might follow in his steps and give our lives together with him. This is the path to life to the full. It comes from knowing we're not just a number. It comes from receiving the Lord's guidance. It comes from nourishing on all that he gives us, his teaching, the material food, and ultimately himself. It comes within his protection. It's a beautiful phrase in today's gospel. That they come in and go out and find pasture. For sheep to do that is pretty extraordinary. They have to know they're safe to do that. And with the Lord protecting us, we are safe to be able to go about as we please. And as we please is ultimately to please him if our souls are athirst for him. And then ultimately, the whole purpose of it all is to discover that the abundance of life is in making ourselves a self-gift, just like the Good Shepherd teaches us. Today we celebrate St. George and St. Adalbert, called in Polish St. Wojciech. Sister Emmanuel would be very happy if you all knew that. Sister Gaudia is smiling too, I think, for obvious reasons. They were ones who were good shepherds all the way, and now they are in the eternal sheepfold, interceding for us, so that we, hearing the Lord calling us, might hear him one day, after following him, say, "Come, you blessed of my Father."